This episode of Dollars and Cents is brought to you by MCS, Oriental, AIG, RSM, and Amy Taylor Fernandez Voiceovers.
Michael Sineski is an entrepreneur who has founded businesses in a cross-section of sectors. Why don't we talk about your ventures and your life in Puerto Rico? Let's start from where did you move from, when, and why?
So my name is Michael Sineski, and I've been coming to Puerto Rico since I was around 4 or 5 years old. I'm 44 now, so last 40 years. I love it here. I've vacationed, done business here, and I recently moved with my family, actually, in December of this past year, wife and three kids, and we're out in Dorado, so we're super happy.
Okay, and let's talk about your ventures in Puerto Rico in terms of your businesses. Why don't we start with, you know, your company name, and what it is that you're doing on the island?
My company name is, so I have two major industries that I'm in. First industry that I actually moved to Puerto Rico for was my medical supplies and supply chain logistics company, Supply Chain Solutions. And that's called WeShield. But my passion, my overall passion in life is the hospitality, food and beverage industry. And that's where we're sitting right now, Sushi by Boo.
So let's talk about Sushi by Boo. When did you open? And I know that you worked with partners, right? So why don't we talk a little bit about this operation?
So Sushi by Boo in Puerto Rico opened up in March of this year, and I opened up with a longtime friend and business associate, Shimmy McGee, who also owns Brava for close to, I think, 30 years.
Yes.
Another partner, Paco Lopez, who is one of the largest concert promoters on the island. We have an amazing both business and friendship partnership that looking to grow from here to do a lot of other things in Puerto Rico. It's been open for around 3 months now, and it's been incredible. I don't want to jinx it, but we have a perfect 5-star rating on Google, which is unheard of. So you could say it's the highest rated sushi bar in all of Puerto Rico. And the product and the quality and the service is all amazing.
And before you launched here, because this is a sort of a different concept in terms of size, and I'm thinking ambiance, what kind of market research did you do? Because there are sushi places all over the place.
So now in this passion industry that I'm in, I don't really think that I'm opening up restaurants. I think I'm opening up experiential dining. I consider this more like a Broadway show, not a restaurant.
Okay.
So, you pre-reserve a seat. You get a certain time that you have to be here on time. And then we have, it's around almost the same customer to staff ratio. So you're getting an unbelievable service, almost one-to-one, where you have a chef serving you piece by piece, the old fashioned way, like you're eating in Tokyo, hand to hand, where we tell you not to use chopsticks. So this is not a traditional, sushi restaurant where you can get rolls and like things like that. This is, it's what's called omakase. Mm-hmm. So it's trust the chef. You're getting a set menu where the chef is serving you piece by piece. So it's definitely, nothing like a regular sushi restaurant.
Do you think there's an opportunity to open more restaurants, if not this one, then other concepts?
So my company, Simple Venue, has numerous concepts. We actually take underutilized space and we turn it into unique foodie concepts. So this is a perfect example of underutilized, which was closed for around 5 years since Maria. I chose this hotel because of how iconic it is. I've been coming here for vacation business for so many years, and this is the hotel to be in Puerto Rico. And I wanted to make sure that we, our first one here, especially with me living here now, we did it the right way in the best hotel possible. As far as other hotels, other places, we definitely expect to open up more Sushi by Boo's together with the team. We're already looking into other areas such as Palmas, Rio Grande, Condado.
Will they also be this sort of condensed space concept? So it all, this isn't very big.
Right. So the normal space for us is a micro concept because that is usually what is considered underutilized in a hotel. It's finding a closet, finding even a hotel room itself, a luggage storage room, you know, anything and everything, which usually tends to be, you know,
empty space,
small micro space. The larger spaces, you know, they hotels try to do traditional lease deals for, but with these kind of spaces, I get to have a little more leeway and partner with the hotel versus a traditional lease. With Puerto Rico, there's definitely, I think a need to elevate the foodie world. I think this is a great start. There's so many other things that I'm looking to do here. Like, as an example, my kids started an event planning company here because I want to instill an entrepreneurial spirit in them too and teach them how to run a business. So they started an event planning company. Yesterday, we actually did a fun pizza party in Dorado where I flew a couple of friends from New York, very well-known pizza makers, and a wine sommelier, and we did an amazing Naples style pizza party where we had a wood fire pizza oven on a farm, and the people who came there said this is the best pizza they've ever had in Puerto Rico. So these are the things that I'd love to do on this island and just try to help, you know, elevate something that's amazing already, but make it a little better.
Have you thought of other cuisines? You just mentioned Italian, you just mentioned Thai.
So as far as other different brands and types of cuisines that we do, since we do take underutilized space, it's more experiential. So having said that, we're gonna do things like, we have a concept called the Wagyu Room, which is, you know, a Wagyu tasting. We have a mixology omakase. So we'll find, you know, a few amazing mixologists on the island and do like an amazing tasting of different specialty cocktails. We have a concept called omakase'd, which is our vegan sushi concept, which I would love to do here. There's a big need for healthier, plant-based, you know, sustainable options here. So we're definitely gonna hit some other cuisines. And I would love to partner with some other chefs to do some Korean barbecue restaurant, as an example. Even a ghost kitchen that offers, you know, five different cuisines in a much smaller format. Just different cool opportunities that we're looking at.
In your time here, you know, have you been able to assess the challenges of the food industry in Puerto Rico?
So there are definitely major challenges, in any place you try to open up a business. With us being on an island, the importing of high quality goods that have to go through a lot of red tape with the states is definitely a problem. There is a lack of talent pool. As an example, as I said before, a lot of people have left the island since Maria and then especially COVID. So getting people back here, getting the right staff to work at these locations that we're expecting. So as I said before, with more opportunity, there's definitely more people will be available and stay on the island and not leave. So, that's definitely one of the challenges of this rebuilding time that we're seeing. Allowing people the time it takes to open up to ideas like this in a market that they're not used to something like this, you know, being on time, it's island time. So we're selling time, it's like you're buying a piece of real estate for a certain amount of time at our experiences. So you have to be here on time. It starts with or without you.
Sure. Now, what about your contributions to nonprofits as part of an Act 20 beneficiary? Who are you working with?
Philanthropy is a huge part of my life. In my religion, we believe to give away at least 10% of our income, and I follow that. I have numerous charities myself that benefit certain things I'm truly passionate about, whether it was disaster relief, because my hometown of Rockaway, Queens was destroyed after Hurricane Sandy, so I understand what happened here with Maria. So certain natural disasters, we are looking to definitely help to make people more resilient and help them prepare for that. In addition, helping, you know, with things that are near and dear to my heart, which I'm half Israeli and half Ukrainian. So the last couple of years have been a little rough with, you know, the wars imposed on my family in both areas. So we have charities to help protect, you know, people, volunteers, civilians there. But as far as here in the island, you know, the environment is a huge thing for us, cleaning up the waters. We're looking into helping certain charities that help stray animals. There's a lot. Just from being here around 6 months now, I see there's so many stray dogs and cats, and I see there's a lot of good charities that that we're looking to help out with that as well.
Are you involved in the Act 2022 Society? Do you interact, you know, if any, with other Act 20 beneficiaries? So, what do you talk about?
So we, being here on the ACT program, we live in an area in Dorado where there are definitely a lot of other same applicants like me. When we meet and hang out, we talk about opportunities that we see. You know, it's a lot of people with the right mindset that, you know, think about moving your family to Puerto Rico from wherever you came from, whether it's Texas or New York or California. So that mindset of picking up your family to come here for an opportunity based on incentives, it's a similar type of person that is looking for, you know, new opportunities, new ways to create. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about ideas and spitballing just fun ideas that we can do together on the island. And there's a few crazy things that we're looking to do, like I'm looking to buy an RV and put a sushi bar in an RV. I'm talking with a couple of buddies that I have in Texas, and we're going to bring in a really amazing smoker and open up a barbecue restaurant, but Texas style, you know, like Texas smoke, you know, so imagine briskets and pork butt and full chickens, and, you know, so this is what we talk about.
Okay. So do you think as a group, you know, you're all doing enough for Puerto Rico?
It's never enough. There's never enough time in a day. You know, as an entrepreneur, we always think we could do better, and we're perfectionists, and there's more we could always do, of course. You know, one of the major problems that we would love to work on, and we always talk about as well, is helping the government reduce red tape to make things easier for opportunities to be created. And you know, there's definitely in every government, there's always obviously a lot of extra red tape that you have to try to navigate through and make easier. So that's something that I think we would love to help with, make better. And I think the program got me here. So obviously, you know, it's a good program because it gets, I've hired over 1,000 people in my career. So with that mindset, now I'm here. And, you know, I know I'm going to be hiring hundreds of people here, you know, in industries where people make, you know, around 25 plus an hour. So, you know, it depends what you think is a good job or not, and what you think is good for society or not. But do I think that it's helpful? Yes.
So when we talk about your other line of business, WeShield, under that you created BrainChain, right, which is a division empowered by AI. Can we talk a little bit about how you're applying artificial intelligence into your operation and what good comes out of it?
So WeShield is a company that I started right after COVID happened. I actually owned around 25 restaurants. And I remember March 17th, 2020. It's like the day that will live in infamy for me and my family. Every single one of my places closed like that, like a light switch off. And it was the first time in my life I went on unemployment. It was unbelievably scary. So I quickly tried, you know, to see where I could fit in the need for what was happening, and use my network and my best friend and business partner, Roman, who moved here 3 years ago. We created a medical supply company that obviously saw a need for, you know, PPE. personal protective equipment, so gloves, masks, all things related to COVID. We were savvy enough to figure out how to find the supply, and then we instilled artificial intelligence marketing, and this was 4 years ago, to get to every single desk of the people that were looking to buy it, whether it was government, Fortune 500 companies, hospitals, et cetera. And, you know, we did very well in that business. And that then we saw, you know, it moved from one thing to the next based on supply chain issues. So it wasn't a question of knowing what was the next issue. It was a question of when to know the next issue was happening. So if we were always 2-3 months late, you know, figuring it out. So we have been developing artificial intelligence software to identify, you know, the next trends of supply chain shortages. And, you know, a couple of years ago, with this software that we created, it picked up, as an example, Ozempic. So, you know, now we're investing in semaglutide, manufacturing. So this is something that, it can save industries, as an example. If you could figure out that there's going to be a shortage of tomatoes or eggs or something like that, and you can help, you know, farms prepare for that, and you can invest in them to prepare for that. Imagine how many companies and industries and people you can save on shortages by seeing it early enough.
Are you working with companies in Puerto Rico at all?
So with WeShield and BrainChain, yes, we're working with the government here. We were helping them supply certain tests like flu and COVID tests for a little while to Medicare and Medicaid patients. We provide tablets to people in need. And we identify, certain people with the government that, are looking for educational tablets that they don't have. There's a lot of other things too that, there's a lot of shortages in this world right now. So it's identifying things quickly enough and then working with the companies to build them up quickly enough to then be able to service, demand. So, WeShield has, offices in the United States, and then we ownership and are all out here, and we have warehousing here now. So we have marketing people here now. We have offices here now, but again, the majority are in the States. And then the ACT program got us to move here. And then what is that doing? It's creating new opportunities. As I said, we open up a warehouse here, offices, marketing divisions, etc.
One final thought. Well, how is life on the island for you? And what do you see happening maybe perhaps in 3 to 5 years for you?
So I've been a permanent resident here for around 6 months. And my biggest regret is not moving here much sooner. I spent so much time grinding, the day-to-day hustle in Manhattan. Like that rat race is tough. Like, you know, it's every single day, 20 hours a day. But here it's like, you know, I don't find I'm working less, but now I'm doing it in a beautiful environment with amazing people, with such an amazing culture. And I'm just looking to be, a help to this island and not a burden.
You speak Spanish?
Un poquito.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Gracias.
And I'm sure we'll speak again.
Thank you so much.
This episode of Dollars and Cents was brought to you by MCS, Oriental, AIG, RSM, and Amy Taylor Fernandez Voiceovers.